Welcome back to the Real News Network. I'm Paul Jay in Toronto, and we're talking about Iraq after the elections. Joining us again is Amjad Ali from the Iraqi Freedom Congress. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
The Americans say they're going to be out, combat troops are going to be out by the end of 2011. It's not clear yet, I guess, what's not coming out. I mean, what is your understanding or the Freedom Congress's thinking on this?
It's going to be a totally different occupation. The combat troops will pull out. They will leave 30,000 troops there as advisors, counselors, whatnot. And another thing, it's the economic colonization, and this is what's going to happen. It started a few months ago when the IMF intervened. Iraq had asked for $3.8 billion.
Now, apparently, in the Iraqi Central Bank now, if I understand it, there's $45 billion sitting there.
Yet
they still went and made a loan with the IMF.
That's right. And the $3.8 billion were approved by the IMF and the International Bank. And we know very well that IMF, when they want to give money, they will impose a number of conditions that any country or to comply with.
And do you know what the conditions on the loan?
In general, there will be the cut down on the public spending. Most of the Iraqis, 80% of Iraqis, I'm talking about the workers, they are working in the public sector. And when we say that cutting down on the public spending, most of these public sectors will be cut down to 40%, 30%.
What are examples of that in the public sector?
Food production in the public sector, mechanical productions in the public sectors, plastic productions, construction productions. Most of the, as I said, 80% of the Iraqi economy or industry is a public sector.
So a big privatization campaign.
A huge, huge privatization.
Which in other countries usually has meant different sections of the elite get to pick up these privatized sectors of the economy very cheaply and wind up, like in Mexico, some of the richest people in the world.
It is the same, actually. It is the same. Now, the elites are trying to buy out those industries and plants from the public sector. What happened is the government does not want to give the contracts to those factories or those plants. Once they don't have contracts, they don't have jobs. They declare bankruptcy. The government decide to, okay, this is bankruptcy, a bankrupt a plant or field. Let's sell it out to the private sector. And who is on the other hand from the private sector who has all that money? Is the elites or the official in the government. And it happens in the north part of Iraq and south part of Iraq. For example, the cement factory, it's a huge factory, like billions and billions of dollars. You would see that the President Talibani himself, he is part of the deal of selling it out to the private sector. And who bought it, actually? One of the friends or close friends of the President Talibani. These are facts. These are in Iraq, and this is very simple facts. And it goes towards most of the plants in Iraq who are actually lined up to be sold out to the private sectors.
What's happening in terms of the oil revenues and the oil law?
A few years ago, Tony Blair, back then, he asked Shell to design an oil and gas law. And Shell had designed that, and this is a fact, came out of the, back in 2007, I believe. It was published by the BBC. They designed that law, they designed it, and they presented to the Iraqis, and the official Iraqis, made some modification on that. But the government could not pass it. They ratified it, but brought it to the National Assembly. National Assembly did not pass it. The fight is over, like, the oil issue.
Hundreds of representatives, I think, in the National Assembly signed a petition opposing the law.
That's right. The thing is, they don't have that. It's not settled. The territorial issue is not settled. Most of the oil reserve is in Kirkuk, and Kirkuk itself is a very controversial city. The Kurds claim it, the Arab claim it, and the Turk claim it, Turkmens. They claim the city. And since it is not settled, so the problem is going to be who's going to take whatever of that oil. And that's why it could not pass. And they are thinking of, okay, the next government is going to, or the next National Assembly will pass it. But as we see the National Assembly today, none of them has the majority. We highly doubt that someone is going to ratify that.
Now, the U.S. is certainly not getting what they want out of this war. They have an Iraqi government that they helped install, but the Iraqi government seems to have at least as many links with Iran as it does with the United States. The oil concessions, some of the first concessions went to China and France, certainly the U.S. is somewhere in there. But is the situation unraveling from American, the American agenda?
Regarding the oil deals, we don't know, because the lack of a transparency, we don't know to what extent the American corporations are involved into those deals or with those companies or those corporations who got those deals. We don't know to what extent. We know for sure there is an American presence there. Within those corporations, we don't know for a fact how much they are involved in these corporations. And as I mentioned earlier, because the oil deal or the oil and gas law was designed by Shell, so we believe that, the Brits and the Americans will have sort of involvement into these deals.
So talk a little bit more what you mean when you say the next phase is the American economic occupation.
When we talk about the combat troops will move out or pull out from Iraq, we will have it just happened 50 years ago when the British troop pulled out of Iraq. But when they pulled out, they left same thing. They left advisor. They left three bases in Iraq, and they were able, those bases back then, they controlled the government, the sort of government, their policies and whatnot.
Obama has said they're going to get out of the bases as well.
You know, they are saying a lot of things. We have heard a lot of things, but let's wait until the end. However, because of the IMF involvement and international bank involvement, we think that is going to be a different phase of occupation, is going to be the economic occupation. When we had that IMF approved the $3.8 billion to Iraqis, and I spoke about the cutting down the spending. Here the thing is, one of the major issue of Iraqis, the Iraqi people have been relying on the ration or the food stamp since 1990, after the embargoed or the sanctions were imposed on Iraq because of the Kuwait invasion. The food stamps has roughly between 12 to 14 items, sugar, tea, rice, flours, food oils, and whatnot, and milk for children. So the IMF, when they said that you have to cut down the public spending, the major issue was, okay, you are spending a lot of money on the food stamp. And we just recently noticed that the number of items from 14 items in the food stamp declined to 4 or 5 items.
So the Iraqi people who still don't have clean water or any kind of consistent electricity are supposed to get stuff out of their food stamp bags.
If we are not talking about the water and electricity, we will talk about the major issue that right now we have. We have a huge or massive number of unemployed people. And unemployed people, then of course, they don't have work, they don't have money to spend.
Is there any kind of social safety net of any kind for when you're unemployed?
There is, but it is very, very limited to, like the amount of money that dedicated to them is, per person, it's around 150,000 Iraqi dinar, which is roughly $110.
A month.
Most of this money goes like a lack of housing, so you have to spend a lot of money on paying rents. Transportation is very expensive. Everything is expensive there in Iraq. So when you give this much money to those people, it's not enough. They barely survive with this money for 1 week. So the rest of the month is going to be very hard for them. And we can see the number of crimes is increasing, the number of people who are joining the militia is increasing, and the more unstabilized the country is becoming. And this is part of the IMF, results of the conditions that is going to be. And it's going towards chaos, and chaos every day passes.
Well, in the next segment of the interview, let's talk about what the Iraqi Freedom Congress proposes. Please join us on the Real News Network.